Heaven's light in the manger. God incarnate, come to be with us. The long-promised Messiah. The one that would answer the deepest longings of our heart. All the questions are answered in Jesus Christ. Today we lit the shepherd's candle, the pink candle, the candle of great joy. And why was that? Because the angels announced this good news of great joy. Thank you to Brian and Kathy for laying that out and reading the scripture that is pretty much famous in our culture for a ton of different reasons. But if you're familiar with the Charlie Brown Christmas, which I certainly grew up with, you have that iconic moment where Linus is reading that, or actually from recitation, and he speaks that truth, that beautiful story forth. We're going to be reading that again in a minute. It's already been read. It was beautifully read. But that story, I just can't ever get enough of it. It is so beautiful and it is so moving. Here you have these shepherds and they're out abiding in their fields at night, looking after their sheep, minding their own business. Literally, that's their business, looking after their sheep. And then all of a sudden, angels scaring the living daylights out of these shepherds. It says they were greatly afeared. They were very afraid. And well, you might be if you're just minding your business and all of a sudden you see this angel with great news. I got some good news for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amazing. And then, as if it's not enough for just one angel to scare the living daylights out of you and tell you this good news, then there's this mighty host of angels. How many of you know how many angels are in a host? A lot. Thousands upon thousands. We don't even know how many angels there are. And there they are, singing, saying, praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men of goodwill. Wow, what beautiful news. And there they are, the shepherds, getting this, taking it all in, and saying to each other, hey, let's check this out. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what we've been told. And sure enough, there they go. And they see in this stable, probably directed somehow, some way, there to this beautiful scene of Mary and Joseph and all these animals, presumably. And there's Jesus lying in a manger, a humble crib that's really just intended to feed the animals. Jesus, the King of all the earth, the Messiah, the Lord of humble birth. And they see this and they take it all in and they're just filled with joy. And they have to go tell everybody that they can. And sure enough, the people that they tell are in awe, they're in wonder, they're in amazed at the things that they're getting told. And Mary, of course, keeps all these things tucked away in her heart and in her mind. What a beautiful thing. Let's stand and read that story again. From Luke, the doctor, this wonderful Greek Christian who came to faith in Jesus Christ, presumably through the ministry of Paul himself, and then traveled all around the Mediterranean world with Paul. And you know, Luke is a well-trained Greek physician, and he has carefully undertook as a historian to record all the facts. And here are the facts, and believe the truth. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. The shepherds hear the good news. The shepherds heed the good news. The shepherds herald the good news. That's the flow of the message today. Hearing, heeding, and heralding. And the shepherds have something to say to us today. The shepherds are an example to us today that we can hear the good news, and that we must heed the good news, and that in great joy we have the privilege to herald the good news. Let's talk a little bit about the shepherds for a moment. The shepherds, good men, tending their sheep, minding their own business, doing their thing. Now, shepherds, unfortunately, were looked down upon in this society. They were the day laborers. They certainly weren't the aristocracy. They certainly weren't the priestly class. They weren't even considered like the business class, the merchants. Israel's entire structure of religion depended on a steady supply of sheep. I've mentioned this to you before, but at the time of Passover, many people would come to Israel, hundreds of thousands of people. And you know in the Old Testament that each of these families were required to slaughter a lamb. Hundreds of thousands of sheep were slaughtered right around the time of Passover. Interestingly, those who lived in the land did it one certain day of Passover, and those that came from outside of the country, from wherever they came in the Roman Empire, they did it the next day. And it is said that on that mount, just outside of where the temple is, that the blood flowed like a stream. Hundreds of thousands of sheep. This is an important business. Israel's religious system relies on shepherds. And it's not a surprise that it's outside of Bethlehem either, because you understand that Bethlehem is just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. It makes sense for you to raise all these sheep close to where the action is. These shepherds were good people doing their lowly work. And isn't it just like God to reach out to the lowly and to the humble? He's opposed to the proud, the scripture says, but he gives grace to the humble, which is a message for us. But we see that writ large here in this story. He's coming to the shepherds, these people that are, in some sense, of no account in Israeli society, in Israelite society. They kind of are on the lower rung. And yet, God chooses to come to them. It's not that ironic in some way, because think about the two greatest shepherds of Israel, Moses and David. Every Israelite looked up to Moses as the great lawgiver, as the great emancipator, as the one who brought the people of God out of the house of bondage, through the Red Sea and into the land of promise. There's no greater prophet in all of Israel than Moses. And what was Moses? For 40 years, Moses was a shepherd in the land of Midian, just doing his thing. Incidentally, Moses also had a come to God moment. The burning bush probably scared the living daylights out of him as well. Think about also the greatest king that Israel ever had. The king that was after God's own heart. That was David. Now, David wasn't perfect. We know that. The scriptures are full of that. In fact, I hope to delve into that come January. I'd love to do a series in the life of David. David wasn't perfect, but the scripture says that he was a man after God's own heart. And he's just a shepherd boy. And he penned, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, one of the most beautiful psalms that we have. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. How many of us have received comfort in difficult times in our lives through those inspired words from the great songwriter and shepherd, David? So it's actually quite appropriate that the great news that they are receiving about the Messiah, the King, the Savior of Israel, the Lord, would be delivered to the shepherds. But what is this that they heard? The shepherds are there doing their thing, and they're open to the good news. Are you open to having God speak to you while you just do your thing? School, at work, looking after the kids, wherever you find yourself, are you open to that? God is speaking. Are we opening up our senses to see Him and to hear Him? This past week, of course, we had this brilliant and beautiful snowstorm. And the day after, of course, everything was idyllic and beautiful. And I was walking in our little subdivision, and all of a sudden I got this overwhelming sense of God speaking into my heart. And He said, "Edward, do you see all of this? I made it. It's not by chance. This isn't just happenstance. It didn't just happen like the materialists in our culture and society say, hey, this all happened, you know, Big Bang happened how many billions of years ago, and all of this has arisen by sheer chance." And I looked around and I saw the beauty of the valley and the snow, and understanding that each and every individual snowflake is unique. And I had this sense that God is alive and He is real. But it's not just enough for us to know that God exists. God is reaching out to us. He's wanting to announce peace and grace and hope in our lives. It's not just enough to believe that there is a God, because there is a God who has come in the incarnation. And that's the good news that the angels are announcing. Ha! Don't be afraid. I've got great news for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Savior, Christ the Lord. This is great news, brothers and sisters. This is the wonderful news of the evangel. They're speaking forth. Now, we're looking at who is this Savior. It's Jesus, this little baby that you're going to see, that you're going to visit in a few moments, perhaps. Maybe it took them a little longer than a few moments to get to that stable. But Israel had longed for a Savior over and over again. They had seen Saviors. Moses saved them from the Egyptians. David saved them from the Philistines. Listen, isn't it true? We all need saving all the time. There's always something coming into our lives. The enemy is not happy just to rest on his laurels. He's coming after us. Now, how do we know that? Because the scripture says that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's a new lion in our life almost every day. Let's just admit it. There are so many things in our culture that are pulling at us. Not just the materialistic values of this culture that says, hey, believe in God, don't believe in God, it's all good. But we live in a time where we have unprecedented wealth. And Christmas time happens to kind of pull the curtain away from that, doesn't it? You go to the malls here, people are buying all sorts of stuff. The Christmas trees have scads and scads of presents underneath it. You'd almost believe that the reason for the season is for the merchants. We live in that kind of culture, brothers and sisters. And that greed and that longing for the things of this world tears at us. It's like tendrils that wrap themselves around our hearts, the affections of our hearts, the idols that we so quickly cling to. And the good news is that Jesus has come to rescue us, to save us from ourselves, to save us from all the things that the culture says, this will save you, but in the end we know there's no salvation there. Jesus is the Savior. The angel says he's the Savior, he's the Christ, the sent one, the Messiah. Understand this. That is what this is, what he's saying. Jesus Christ, that's the Greek word for Messiah. What is a Messiah? Well, it's certainly one that will save you, but it will also be one that will set up the kingdom. And Jesus came to announce the kingdom. Jesus is the king of that new kingdom. The shepherds, representing all of Israel's longings, were hoping for the Messiah. And the Old Testament is full of stories. Isaiah saying, there will come a time when the Messiah will come, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us, and the government will rest upon him, the Prince of Peace. This is the hope that they lived in, and this is the great joy that was delivered to them by the angels. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Lord Adonai. You understand what the angels are saying in this moment? This isn't just some baby. This isn't just some great Savior in the line of David or Moses or Joshua. This is the Lord. This is Adonai. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. Do you understand? This is great news. It is good news. And then in that moment, you see all of the starry hosts of heaven singing, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men of goodwill. That little phrase, to men of goodwill, is kind of confusing. If you dig into it a little bit in the Greek, you can read different things into it. There's nuances there. I saw this translation of that statement, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men of goodwill. And I really love this. Listen carefully. The goodwill of God to all means glory to God and peace on earth to us whom God has chosen. That goodwill, do you think it's us that conjures up the goodwill toward God? No way. It's God's goodwill toward us. It's God's movement toward us because he loves us and he has loved us, the scripture says, from the foundation of the world. Even as you were knit in your mother's womb, God loved you and he knew you. Isn't that wonderful news? That your life is not just happenstance, but your life has meaning and purpose because God loves you so much and he has loved you from the foundation of the world that he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life to be counted as one upon whom he would bestow his goodwill. The angel said, the goodwill of God is to all of us, and it means glory to God and peace on earth, here and now, to us, but also as the psalmist said, and afterward I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those are the words of another shepherd. And Jesus is that good shepherd who has brought that reality into our lives. So, this is the good news that the shepherds heard. They were open that night to receive whatever was going to be shared with them. Their senses were open, their eyes, their ears, and they heard something that's beautiful. And we also, wherever we are, should have our senses open to God revealing Himself in our lives. That everywhere where we go, we're looking for Jesus. But hearing isn't just enough. You can't get by with just opening up your senses. Oh, that's nice, but it doesn't affect you. The next part of this is heeding. You hear, and then you heed. And they said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see what these angels are telling us. They didn't say, let's see if what these angels are telling us is true. They believed. Let's go and verify for ourselves the fact that what these angels have said is true. This great news of great joy. So they go to the stable and they see Jesus. And their hearts are filled with joy because of what the angels have said is true. I challenge us to be like those shepherds in our lives. Day to day, wherever we go, are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for an encounter with Jesus? This week we have an opportunity to share with the least, the last, the lost, and the lonely by providing a meal for them at Open Door. Every time that I go there, and there's usually a good crowd from Providence. Last time we had a baker's dozen of people that showed up. You understand that when you feed someone who doesn't have an opportunity to get a good meal in a way that we're familiar with, but you're fulfilling the very words of Jesus when he said, when you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it unto me. The shepherds went to that lowly stable and they saw Jesus in the manger. Wherever you go this week, are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for an encounter with the Savior, with the Messiah, and with the Lord? Heed the voice of the Lord. Heed His good news. That means we take action. We don't sit on our laurels. We go. Isn't that a beautiful thing about being a Christian? We hear and then we act. And that's not even of ourselves. It's the Spirit at work that's animating us. Christ within us. Which is what? The hope of glory. Christ within us. And you understand that you're not just looking to see where Jesus is, where you go, but do you understand that as a follower of Jesus Christ, with the light of the hope of the gospel in you, that you are really Jesus, where you go? That maybe somebody that needs to have hope can see in you the love of Jesus Christ. The fact is we may be the only Bible that some people ever read. We are the good news bearers. And that's the beautiful thing about the story about the shepherds. They heeded, and then they heralded. They go and they see this. They understand what's really happening. And they are beside themselves with wonderment and with joy. And they go tell everybody that they can what they have just seen. And all these people that got evangelized, that heard the good news from the lips of the shepherds, were in wonderment. They were amazed. They were astonished. They had hearts that were filled with admiration. That Greek word that you see, they were in wonder about this good news that the shepherds were sharing. There's a sense of admiration and an amazement that, yeah, it's true. And here these shepherds are telling this truth, and it's a miracle, and it is a wonder. I pray that as we go out into the community and herald forth and reflect Jesus in all the places of our work, in all the places of our leisure, wherever God brings you this week, that you may share the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, that you may herald the good news. Everyone is on a spiritual journey. Do you understand that? Everyone is on a spiritual journey. Please don't give up on anybody. There may be somebody in your life and they're like, I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. I don't know if there is a God or there isn't a God. Do you understand? Those people are on a spiritual journey. And God is bringing us, intersecting in the lives of people in our community to speak forth and to herald the good news. Now, you may be the one that plants a seed. You may be one that waters. You may even have the privilege of being one to harvest, to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ, even if that were possible. But you know what I'm talking about, that we're, as shepherds, one sharing the good news. We have a role to play. Of course, it's the Spirit's work in this spiritual journey. I just want to encourage each and every one of you today. Every one of us knows somebody in our life who's not a believer. It pains your heart, I'm sure, especially if they're a loved one, especially if they're very close to you. Don't lose heart. Be faithful. Continue to herald the good news of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. The light of the hope of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.